Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Oh, come on, let's face it. Let's admit it. We like it when the bad guys get what they deserve. I remember recently watching a movie, and it was a typical action movie where you have a bunch of bad guys doing bad things, doing whatever and what they want, whenever they want to do it. But then, of course, this movie had a typical ending. The bad guys got what they deserved. The good guys were able to conquer them and destroy them. And let's face it, when we watch movies like this, where bad guys get what they deserve in the end, there's a certain feeling of satisfaction to that. In fact, we may have the same feelings even when we read the Bible. For example, how many of you saw the classic movie with Charlton Heston, The Ten Commandments? I think most of the people, at least my age or older, remember that movie. Well, remember that part where Pharaoh's armies are chasing God's people through the parted Red Sea? And just as God's people get up on the other shore, God closes the water over Pharaoh's armies and destroys God's enemies. And let's face it, when we read about that in the Bible, or especially when we watch it on the TV screen, maybe we've rented the video, when we see that event, we have a little bit of a feeling of satisfaction that the bad guys are getting what they deserve. Yet another example from Scripture is the battle between young David and the huge Philistine warrior Goliath. That was one of my favorite stories as a child. This big bad guy who was mocking God and threatening to destroy his people ends up being killed by a little David who relies on God's power to do what needed to be done. And let's face it, when Goliath is conquered, there's a feeling of satisfaction that wells up within us when the bad guy gets what he deserves. Finally, we also may have the same feelings when we hear Jesus' words in today's gospel reading from Matthew chapter 23. Now, if you take time later today to read the entirety of Matthew chapter 23, you will see that this whole chapter is filled with words of Jesus condemning the evil teaching and the hypocritical deeds of the Pharisees. When you read this chapter, no less than 7 times, Jesus says, "Woe to you!" And of course, he's referring to the Pharisees. Now, let's face it. When we hear Jesus condemning these bad guys, we may be tempted to say, "Yeah, give it to them, Jesus. Let them have it. Those evil Pharisees will get what they deserve in the end." However, you may be surprised to find out that God does not share our feelings about the fate of those bad guys. Remember what Jesus said at the end of our gospel reading? "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." My friends, Jesus shows us the heart of God. Jesus is God himself in human flesh. And you know what that means? It means that Jesus was the one who destroyed Pharaoh's armies. Jesus was the one who gave King David the power to kill Goliath. And yes, Jesus is the one who condemned the Pharisees. But don't think for a second that Jesus gets any pleasure from the destruction and damnation of ungodly people. Remember what God said in our Old Testament reading from Ezekiel. He said, "Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord. Repent and live." Our sermon title for today is, "God is Willing. Are you willing?" Today we're going to learn how God wants us to respond when we hear him rebuke the bad guys and when we witness him give the bad guys the punishment that they deserve. And the first thing that we need to realize is this. we are the bad guys. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting that you are no different than the ungodly unbelievers who could care less about the Lord. I'm not saying that. As Christians who believe in God, you grieve over the sin in your lives. As Christians, you trust in Jesus for salvation. As Christians, you love God, and you really do want to live according to His will. But my question is this: why do you have these godly characteristics? Why? Well, don't pat yourself on the back, and I'll tell you why. In one of the liturgies that we use from our hymnal on Sunday mornings, you might recall that we use these words during the confession. Here's the words we use. We are by nature sinful and unclean. In other words, we are the bad guys by nature. Now, what does that mean? Well, you might recall our hymn for today. All mankind fell in Adam's fall. Scripture teaches that we all inherited a sinful nature from the first human, Adam. And you know the history. God created Adam and Eve, the first humans, and they and their descendants, that's us, we were meant to live in God's love forever. But that all changed when Adam and Eve rejected God and became enemies of God in their hearts. Scripture also teaches that their sinful nature was passed on to all their descendants, including you and me. That's why the godly King David could write these words in Psalm 51. He wrote, I was sinful at birth, in sin did my mother conceive me. My friends, that's why Scripture teaches that we are all equally guilty before God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Paul writes, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In addition, because we are sinners by nature, we also deserve God's wrath. Paul writes about that in Ephesians 2. Listen to what he says. He says, we were by nature objects of God's wrath. In fact, the evidence that we are sinners is that we must all face death, sooner or later. Paul writes about that in Romans 5, verse 12. Listen to what he says there. Sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all because all sinned. So, now you know what I mean when I say we are the bad guys. In fact, unless the Holy Spirit works a miracle in our hearts, we sinners are not willing to trust God, nor can we love Him. Listen to what Paul says about this in Romans 8. He says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Paul teaches the same thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. My friends, this is what we are by nature. We are the bad guys. But if that's true, then what hope is there for us? Will we all end up in hell? No. Here's the really good news. Scripture teaches that God wants to save the bad guys. All of us. You see, God could have turned his back on us after Adam and Eve rejected him, but he didn't. Instead, God set into motion a master plan of salvation. Jesus, God's one and only Son, is the center of this master plan. Jesus came into the world to save his enemies by taking our sin and punishment upon himself. Therefore, with this master plan of love in mind, throughout Holy Scripture, we hear from a God who desperately wants to save the bad guys. All of us. In our reading from Ezekiel, we heard that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Instead, God wants us to repent and live. In our reading from 1 Timothy, we heard that God wants all to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. In addition, in 2 Peter chapter 3, listen to what Peter writes. God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And my friends, the proof that God wants to save the bad guys is that God sent his one and only Son to be our Savior. In fact, that reminds me of one of the most well-known Bible verses there is, John 3:16. If you know it, and I hope you do, let's say it together right now. Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. In our reading from 1 Timothy, we heard that Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all men. Now we can hear Jesus use that same language in Matthew chapter 20. Listen to what Jesus says there. He says, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And by the way, that Greek word for many in this context doesn't mean some people, but instead that word many means all sinners from Adam all the way to the end of time. The many describes this throng of sinners. However, all this leads to a question. If we bad guys don't trust God, and if we bad guys don't love God, then how is it possible for us to receive the salvation that God wants to give us? The answer is that God gives us new natures. God gives us new wills. God opens our hearts so that we can receive him. For example, in our reading from Ezekiel chapter 18, we heard that God wants the wicked to repent and seek him. But how can wicked bad guys repent? How can wicked bad guys seek the Lord if they don't love him and don't trust him? Well, guess what? The book of Ezekiel gives us the answer to that question. If you read ahead in the book of Ezekiel to chapter 36, listen to what God says there. "I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." Did you hear that? God will change our hearts and minds so that we can repent of our sin and trust in him for salvation. God wants to save the bad guys, and he does that by convicting us of our sin and then pointing us to our Savior Jesus, who was damned in our place that we might be forgiven and live in God's love forever. Now, with all that in our minds, we are confronted with a mystery at this point. The mystery is this. God's loving will for all people is not accomplished with all people. Let me say that again. God's loving will for all people is not accomplished for all people. Sadly, what we learn from Scripture is that throughout history and still today, there are people who cling to their sin and reject God's salvation. And Scripture teaches that those who harden their hearts and reject the Lord, they will face God's eternal wrath. You see, even though God is love, he is also just. He cannot overlook sin. Therefore, sin must be dealt with one way or another. And if people reject the way, then they have to face God's wrath themselves. And the ultimate curse of God's wrath is that they must spend eternity separated from God's love by their own choice. And please remember, God doesn't want that to happen. God is not happy when the bad guys get what they deserve. You see, the reason that Jesus spoke so harshly to the Pharisees is not because he hated them and was relishing the fact that they would burn in hell. People read it that way. I mean, you read chapter 23 of Matthew and it sounds like Jesus is immensely angry and he's looking forward to these guys burning in hell. That's not why Jesus is speaking to them that way. If you read this chapter, you see that Jesus desperately wants to save the bad guys. He wants them to repent of their sin and come to him for salvation. He wants to gather them together in his arms of mercy and love. But sadly, they were not willing, even though God was willing. That takes us to the question at the end of my sermon title, are you willing? Well, you know, I'm not God. I can't look into your hearts. Only you can answer that question. Only you can answer if you're truly convicted over your sin and sincerely trust in Jesus. But let me tell you, if you believe that you are a sinner who deserves God's wrath, if you trust in Jesus as your only Savior from God's wrath, if you grieve over the sin in your life, if you long to be forgiven and clothed with the mercy of Christ, if you love God, and if you want to live according to his word, if you are willing to follow Jesus and strive to live to his glory, then praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit has worked a miracle in your heart. God's will has been accomplished in your life. But this fact takes us back to the beginning of the sermon. Even though we have been saved by God's grace, we still have a sinful nature with us. And because we have a sinful nature with us, sometimes we feel joy and satisfaction when the bad guys get what they deserve. My friends, when we find ourselves relishing the fact that the bad guys are getting what they deserve, then we need to repent of that sin. You see, our God has nothing but grief in his heart when the bad guys get what they deserve. And we must ask God to give us the same heart. We must never forget that we are all bad guys who have been saved by Christ. We must always remember that except for the grace of God, we bad guys would be lost for all eternity. In fact, that's why Jesus teaches us to pray for our enemies and for those who persecute us. You know, I'll be the first to admit that it's hard for us to think the same way about bad guys that God does. The reason it's hard for us is that we still have a sinful nature. We don't love others as much as God loves us. But the good news is that God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. God has also given you new hearts. But even more than that, today, through his word, God has revealed his heart to you. God has shown us that he desperately wants to save the bad guys. God so loved the world full of bad guys, that he sent his one and only Son to the cross, that through repentance and faith in him we might not perish, but live eternally in God's loving arms. My friends, the more you focus on Jesus and his overwhelming love for you, the more your hearts will begin to conform to the heart of God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.